Hello and welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio. This week, it's Emery McClendon. And Emery is the father of Armad. And you say, what is Armad? Well, you're going to find out. It's pretty exciting. As we contemplate our wish list for our boys in Iraq that you can see up on the website, we are going to be talking to Emery about Armad and what we can do to engage all radio amateurs, all clubs and organizations in a focus to promote amateur radio and to help our troops overseas. This program brought to you by TW Antennas, the TW2010, your DX Adventure antenna, and Heil Sound. For the best audio possible on ham radio, you've got to have a Heil. And coming up on this program, we're going to be hearing more check-ins from Field Day by request. A lot of folks wanting to hear more of the check-ins over the radio. So we're going to be playing some more of those right after our interview with Emery McClendon from Armad. We've got something special for you. TW Antennas, your DX Adventure, has got a special going on right now. You can now save on shipping when you buy the complete TW 2010 Traveler Antenna Combo. Now, the complete package includes the TW 2010 antenna, the quadrupad, and the deluxe transport bag. You have to see this. Go to the website and check this out. It's a complete package plus $50 savings on shipping. The complete package is $549.85. That's $549.85. But check it out on the website. Go and look at twantennas.com. And if you can't find that, go to our website. And that's tedrandall.com, TEDRANDALL.com. For the QSO radio program, and check out the TW Antenna Special right now on QSO. You might want to know, why is it that we talk about Heil microphones so much, or why do I need a Heil microphone? Here's Bob Heil talking about Heil microphones. Let's talk microphones for a second. When you're in a situation like an emergency, a disaster field day, and you really want to punch through and you want something that's going to just cut through the mustard, so to speak, What's a good microphone to do that?
Well, we're talking about amateur radio, and of course the FCC dictates the fact that we'll be about 3 kc's wide, so you don't have a lot of bandwidth. Well, what we do is the microphone for that choice is a microphone that we tailor with it actually has a labyrinth inside it, Ted. It's an amazing little piece that I designed back in 1982, and this thing tunes 10 dB spike at about 2,500 cycles. I mean, it's just in your face. Not pretty sounding, but it cuts right through, rolls everything off under 600 cycles, everything off of it about 5K, with this great big spike right in the middle of the human voice, where we need to know, what did you say, an F or an S, a P or a B, to get that articulation. Because when we're out in the emergencies, or with we're just running a contest with a lot of noise and there's a lot of stations, that guy's going to be heard first because all of his power is going to be right where the human ear wants to hear those important syllables. And that's what we've done for this industry, is create microphones that do that. We also have, of course, as you well know, microphones that work on the performance level, but for ham radio, it's a whole different ballgame because we're only dealing with 2.5 to 3 kc wide bandwidth that the FCC will dictate to us. But the important thing is to get articulation through, and then we build that in microphones that you can hold in your hand, or we build it in headsets that you can wear and have hands-free, that kind of thing.
Well, now, of all the Heil models, which one is the most optimum for that sort of thing? Which one would you, if you were going to pick one today to operate field day, what would you pick?
Well, we build a number of things. That element is called an HC4, a Heil cartridge 4. That's got that big spike in it. And that HC4 we build in a headset, our ProSet 4. We build it in a microphone, which is the HM10 that has both elements in it, both that HC4 and the HC5, which is a real smooth red tube type thing. And we have it in our Goldmine, the GM4. And all of those products have the HC4 for ultimate communications. And then they have another element that you can switch in for when you're just talking to your buddies and you don't need all that that spike and that articulate sound to cut through noise and things. But we make the HC4 into a lot of different products because we make various headsets and microphones, and the HC4 is the one to do that with.
Of all the Heil mics, which ones do you find the HC4 cartridge in?
Well, we have the HM10, our Goldline GM4. Those are both microphones. In fact, the GM4 looks like our PR20 that you see on the stages, but has a push-to-talk switch in it, and it has both of these elements. It has the wideband element and the HC4. Then we also have the Handy Mic. And the Handy Mic 4, it's only 4 inches long. That has this element in it, and that's what we use for a hand mic. It's just wonderful for communications for ham radio.
Before you make your next selection for a microphone for your new ham rig or your old ham rig, remember Heil Sound. That's heilsound.com. Or you can find them on our website at Ted Randall, TedRandall.com. And remember, Heil is spelled H-E-I-L. That's H-E-I-L. HeilSound.com. Well, our special guest is Emery McClendon, KB9IBW. And, wow, where do we start? You know, he and I have been on the phone, we've been talking, we've been brainstorming, but let me just tell you a little bit about what happened here first for folks that just tuned in. We did Field Day Live 2008. We were in Cookeville, Tennessee, at the home location for TW Antennas and their command center, and of course they were one of the sponsors of the broadcast along with Heil Sound, and we were taking calls from all over the country from radio amateur field day locations, and people were calling in and checking in and telling us how many stations they had set up and how many people were there and how the public was and the officials that they had that's come in, and they talked about their different modes of operation and their power that they were running, and it was really something. I really enjoyed it. I think everybody listening enjoyed it. And then all of a sudden, the phone rings, and it's Captain Hammer with his group of soldiers, some of which he is mentoring into ham radio. Some have already got their ham radio licenses, and they were calling us from Iraq. And we all, like, fell out of our chair. They discovered the broadcast, and they were listening, and they were really wanting to make a stateside contact, so they thought if they called in and got on the air, that we would be able to deliver the message at what frequency they were on. Of course, Field Day is a bad time for that because there's so much jamming up on the ham bands. Everybody's trying to make maximum amount of contacts. But anyways, it was a real eye-opening experience. They sent us pictures, and they also talked about the fact that their station's a little skimpy. They could use some stuff to get out, you know, to make it, especially with them mentoring all these fellows over there. So with that, Alan Pitts put me in contact with Emery McClendon. I had no idea that there was anything called RMAD. I had no idea it even existed. But then I've been on the phone with Emery, and this sounds pretty exciting. So hello, Emery.
Hello.
And how are
nice to be on the phone with you.
How are you doing there? You say you're tired. Had a rough day today, huh?
Yeah, we're doing great. Yeah, we had another long day, but we're glad to be here.
Well, you know, you received the Hamvention Special Award or Special Achievement this year at Dayton, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that so folks know what you've been up to?
Yeah, yes, we did, and we were very surprised. Actually, what happened was my son sort of secretly nominated RMAD and myself for the award. And it went through the process, and it actually won that award for Dayton at the Dayton Hamvention. That's a very prestigious award and a very great honor, and I was just pleased and really tickled to death and just honored to receive such a prestigious award from the ham radio operators and my peers and from the Dayton Hamvention. And lo and behold, the Dayton Amateur Radio Club and some of the other affiliate clubs down there work together, and they also do RMAD, which is Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, and they actually hold the event from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base there at the Air Force Museum. So they had a little bit of experience with RMAT and knowing what it was all about. And so anyway, we won that award, and we're very happy to have won that. So that's just a little bit about what's going on. I think the Dayton Amateur Radio Club, they've been conducting RMATs down there in the Dayton area, and for several years, I think 2 or 3 years, they've been at the Air Force Museum there. So they knew a little bit about what we were trying to do there with using AM radio to show support and appreciation, and also trying to publicize and get amateur radio some recognition and some publicity.
Well, you know, I guess on Bill Pasternak did a story on this on the Newsline that says that actually, ham radio membership is starting on the upswing now. And being that it started on the upswing, we can't let off. We have to keep pushing. The this year's field day brought on some of the best press that's ever been done for ham radio. And I can say hats off to Alan Pitts, because he spearheaded this, and all the folks that work so hard. I mean, these people really put some effort into it. And of course, we all have to remember, everybody's got a full-time job, so this is done out of the love of the hobby. Now, in talking to Emery, I have found out he has done so much groundwork on this. He has made so many phone calls. He has written letters all over the country. And the more I talk to him, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, he's really done his homework. Now, right now, RMAD. Let's talk about the acronym. RMAD stands for?
It stands for Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day.
Okay. Now, an RMAD setup is where a club sets up somewhere in public, just like they would at field day. And tell us a little bit about what they do. They have a ham station set up, and kind of relate to all of the other amateurs and folks listening what happens at an RMAD setup. Doing RMAD?
Okay, basically what we try to do at an RMAD station, we ask stations, clubs, individual operators, groups of people to get together and set up in a public location and a venue or a shopping center. It could be a baseball game, it could be a park, a zoo, some kind of patriotic event that's going on that weekend, which it always happens during the Memorial Day weekend. So we ask the amateur radio operators to go out and set up HF, 2 meters, 2 meter sideband, packet, whatever you want to set up, or a combination of all, and actually invite the public to watch, to participate, and to send live messages via third-party QSOs or through Mars Grams, through informal or formal traffic, and just say, we thank you, soldiers, troops, veterans, first responders or whatever, for what you're doing to serve in the military. And it's a worldwide thing. We also include coalition forces as well as our American soldiers and veterans. And what we try to do is get as many stations as we can on the air from around the country, from around the world, and have them QSO each other, have that each individual location set up a special event as their own special event, but yet we're all tied in together as one big special event, so that we can make as big an impact on the world and on the troops, veterans, as we possibly can, and promote the hobby, thereby helping or trying to help grow the hobby even more and to bring public awareness as to what ham radio really is.
Well, you know, I guess the thing of it is one thing we got to keep in mind, because when he first started explaining this to me, I was thinking, how they do what, and they're into what here? I was starting to sort all this out. But this is an appreciation day for the military. And what, you know, and with an RMAD station, you're actually doing public service work, because you're involving the general public. You're doing this in the name of supporting the troops. You're acquainting folks with amateur radio. And you're also... you've got some military involvement here. Emery, tell us a little bit about the military's involvement in this.
Okay, the military involvement, what happens there is we asked each location, and of course we started it here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we asked each location to contact your National Guard if you have one close to you, contact a military base if you got one close to you, contact the Department of Defense or military support groups, military readiness groups, any other kind of group that has any affiliation with the military, such as American Legions, VFWs, the DAV. Get some of those people involved, find out who they know in the military, and then get those people to come out and be on site, to sit behind the radios, to be able to pick up the microphone and receive some messages from the general public and from other locations that may be on the air around the country, and from the other ham radio operators that are on the air. This way we get full involvement with not only making this an amateur radio event, which we found that a lot of the amateur radio events that we do are strictly amateur radio events, and the public doesn't know what's going on. They don't. They may hear a little bit about what we're doing, but they don't have the opportunity to actually get out there and get a hands-on and participate. So we invite soldiers out to the site. We have what we do in Fort Wayne, and some of the other stations do the same thing over the years, and they've taught us some lessons, too, on all this stuff about what to do and how to draw crowds and so forth. We actually have soldiers come out. We have one or two speakers. This year we had an Air Force Master Sergeant come out. He has over 20 years. He's been to Iraq several times, Afghanistan, to the other locations in the Middle East, and he gave a synopsis of basically some of the things that he's done while being deployed and what it's like to be deployed. And then he went over to the radios and listened to the QSOs, got involved with the QSOs and so forth. We also had Army people there from a little town called Bluffton, Indiana, and there's a unit, a Army National Guard unit there, and they came over. They brought a Humvee out so people could have something to look at and relate to. They brought handouts. They brought ink pens, lapel pens, T-shirts, and they participated also on the radios and by explaining to people a little bit about the Army and their mission and the National Guard. So we were able to get a lot of involvement there and to get people out to see the troops, be able to greet them and shake their hands. Plus, we were able to have people who contacted us over the air, whether it be on Packet, Echolink, IRLP, Asterix was involved, the Asterix system, and also HF and some of the other modes that we used. We were able to get the soldiers on the air, the public on the air, other ham operators on the air, and a lot of the other locations did the same thing. Through America, through the Defense Department, there's a program called Operation Tribute to Freedom. I have made contact with them over the past few years, and they have set us up with soldiers with as many locations as possible across the United States. They said any ham radio group that needs a soldier or some soldiers or a group of soldiers to be there, contact us, and we'll do our best to get these soldiers on site so that they can talk on the radio, be involved, maybe give a speech or whatever. And we've done that in several locations around the country.
Well, you know, this is exciting. And really, with this kind of an event, the sky is the limit. When I was thinking about and what started me off on all of this is I asked Captain Jeffrey Hammer over there in Iraq, and he's talking about how pitiful their site. Now, he wasn't complaining. He was just saying, we only got 100 watts. We got one transceiver. And right away, the folks from TW Antennas said, we're shipping a TW2010. Bob Heil says, I'm shipping a care package of stuff to him. And I got to thinking, well, you know, if we could get a number of people together, I mean, these guys need an amplifier. You know, they need some other stuff. And what a place to mentor amateur radio operators then right there in Iraq. Those guys, they need a diversion. They need to get their mind off of things from time to time. And, you know, if Captain Hammer succeeds in being able to do this and get these fellows licensed, you've served in the military, and you're real familiar with what being deployed is all about, because not only from your firsthand experience, but also from others you've talked to that are involved in RMAD. Why don't you share with the listeners what amateur radio can add to a young man's military career who is putting his life on the line every day?
Yeah, first of all, I think when a soldier has performed his duty, he comes back in, it gives him an opportunity and an avenue to get in contact back home and abroad. It gives him an opportunity to, like we said on our website, RMAD, it teaches young people geography, it teaches you communication skills, it gives you a chance to relax. And we found that through talking to a lot of the soldiers, through talking to a lot of the veterans, through talking to a lot of the other officials, their family members and so forth that have been involved, they're really surprised at the many, many facets of amateur radio. And, you know, having been deployed myself, I was in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years, and then I got out for after I did my 4 years, and I wanted to do more. So about three to four months later, I joined the Indiana Air Guard, and lo and behold, during my two-year extended stint with them, I got deployed again. I went back over to England during the 1973 and 74 stuff that they were, that was going on. We went to England to, being deployed, And having a hobby such as amateur radio and having someone willing to show you what's going on really is a relaxation process. It's a learning process. It builds communication skills, and it teaches our soldiers that there's somebody out there that's willing to help you and willing to do it without any reservations. And that's one of the real good things. You'll hear a lot of the soldiers that'll talk about what the MARS guys, the military affiliate radio people, have done for them to help them send messages home. You'll hear a lot of them talk about what ham radio operators did through phone patches and so forth. This time, they're actually calling back, sending emails, and saying, hey, look, not only did my dad or my uncle or aunts and whatnot talk about what happened during World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, now we can see this in action, and hey, it really works, and we really enjoy this. And a lot more of our more current soldiers are really tickled to death about the facet of ham radio and the things that it can do, even when other means of communication don't get through, like the cell phones can fail and so forth. But they said they've always been able to get back through through the mentoring and so forth with the ham radio usage from Iraq and other different locations that the troops are deployed around the world.
Well, you know, I guess the thing of it is in a military career, with the background, if you're learning the RF and the you're learning the math and the things that go with amateur radio, what else could that, where could a young man move inside the military once he has gained that knowledge and that experience?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of opportunities. He can change his specialty that he is serving in the military. He can retest, you know, and get into different career fields. He can get into different hobbies, communications, radio, TV, and then he can teach other people the fundamentals of radio, of RF, electronics, electricity, and all kinds of other facets that are involved in amateur radio. Some of the new digital modes and all the different things that ham radio has pioneered, this could really help a soldier grow and broaden his horizons as far as being able to get promoted, getting into different fields, specialties. It opens a wide range of possibilities. Even a lot of guys have said that it's helped their speaking ability. So maybe some of the guys wanted to go into jobs where they had to do some speaking or teaching. This ham radio has been able to help them and will be able to help them to even perfect that facet of their career and move them up further as far as communications, as well as through the electronics part of it, and learning more and more about how a signal gets from point A to point B, learning things about weather, propagation. There's just all kinds of avenues that can help. And that's why we're out here trying to help those guys over there in Iraq and also in other locations that they're deployed to get them on the air and help them to mentor. And I think it's very important. And then linking what you guys have done on field day with some of the things that other amateur radio operators can do with events such as RMAD or any other event that we can use to help promote the hobby, to show appreciation, do a public service, I think that we can help these guys develop themselves and become better and better soldiers.
Well, you know, when you're talking about RMAD, let's back up a little bit. And I also want to say, if you've just tuned in, we're talking to Emery McClendon. And that's his call sign is KB9IBW. He is the, I guess I want to say the father of RMAD. He started Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, and he was nominated for the award by his son at the Dayton Hamvention this last year. And what an accomplishment. Now, the more I've talked to Emery, the more I find out that he's put a lot of work into this. He's made a lot of, written a lot of letters. And, you know, I want to say this before we get down the road a little. Sometimes the letters he writes does not bring answers that we could be real proud of as amateur radio operators, and that is a shame. This is something that all of us need to get behind and support. You may not agree with the methods. You may not agree with exactly what's going on. But the fact of the matter is, on field day, we had a group of our soldiers just north of Baghdad calling us on the telephone, wanting to make contact with the United States. And we have Captain Jeffrey Hammer over there mentoring these fellas, getting them into the ham radio arena, getting them their licenses, and providing them with a whole new world of technology, a whole new world of communication and fellowship. And we need to get behind this kind of thing. You know, not nitpick about it. Not, you know, if you're a radio manufacturer, if you work for one of the major manufacturers, you need to be thinking about this. Because there's nothing any more important, I can't think of a thing that we could do that would be any more worthwhile than to procure some equipment for these fellows over there. And then, of course, when they come back, there's a whole new group of guys over there. Captain Hammer was saying the one fellow he believes is coming back was there before was one of the fellows that started in with the Baghdad Amateur Radio Association. So, you know, this thing could go on and on and on, and it could grow, and it could provide these boys with an awful lot of good times as far as pastime is concerned and learning ability. And then you think about the international goodwill. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in another country somewhere and work a group of guys in Iraq, our soldiers, doing field day? I can't think of anything that would enhance international public relations any more than that possibly could. That has got to be one of the greatest accomplishments. Tell me a little bit about how you started out doing this, Emery. Where's the beginnings of ARMAD? What got into your head one day? And how did all this get started?
It all got started a few years ago. Actually, it was way back in 2001 an idea. I got a call from a local cemetery here. They were bringing the traveling Vietnam Wall, and they wanted to know if they could have some ham radio operators help them direct traffic, park cars, and do public service by using our radios. And I said, to coordinate things. So I told them, I said, hey, I'll talk to the club and see what we can do. I said, my vision, if you're going to bring something as important as the Vietnam Wall, the traveling Vietnam Wall to Fort Wayne, I said, could we then ask you for a favor? Could you give us a spot in your media tent or in the media area, somewhere in that general area, where we could set up a special event station in addition to helping you out with communications and parking cars and so forth, so that amateur radio could be promoted? They thought about it, and then they agreed. And as a result of that, we set up a special event station. We had a couple of HF rigs and a couple 2-meter rigs and a packet out station. And we did very, very good that day as far as making contacts, public awareness, people coming over asking questions. We had a lot of veterans call in from all around the world, you know, saying, hey, this is something neat that you guys have done. It's a great idea. And that kind of planted the seeds for continuing to do things like this. So as other patriotic things came up in the community, the radio stations here had known about what we did for the cemetery, and they started giving calls, wanting to know if we could help them out with different things. Then it got more and more involved, where they wanted to use us for Skywarn activities and for different other activities that were going on that they were sponsoring. And finally, the big thing happened that really got ARMAD going, and that was the war had started in Iraq, and they were doing rallies for America around the country. These were spearheaded by the talk show host Glenn Beck, which I'm sure most of us are aware of Glenn Beck. Well, our local station decided to have a rally here in Fort Wayne, and they didn't know how big it could be or whatever, and they were putting out pleas on the radio. If people had any idea how to make this rally work better and draw a crowd, because they were having some trouble actually getting the public involved. So I called them on the phone. I was at work, and I pulled my truck over, and I called them on the phone, and I said, hey, I got an idea that I think might help this go over the top. I said, give amateur radio a chance to be up front, put us near the stage or wherever you're going to be, and let us operate a special event station and let the public talk to veterans and troops, and then we'll ask other operators to do the same thing around the country. I said, I know it's short notice because we only had a week to do this. But it worked out just fine. So they began to do commercials, and they talked about this on the radio station. They put it on TV. They put it on flyers. And they had expected probably anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people to be there. Well, lo and behold, the day of the actual rally, we had 25,000 people show up, and we had traffic backed up down the highway for several miles, and people couldn't even get into the event. And needless to say, Glenn Beck, talk show host, was very, very pleased. He said that Fort Wayne had had one of the best and biggest rallies he'd ever seen, and he asked us to go with him to the national rally for the troops down in West Virginia, which was held at Marshall Stadium, and that was on Memorial Day weekend, the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. I took several operators here from Fort Wayne. One of them was N9KNJ, Ron Coffin. He has been working with RMAD since it started, and he coordinates a lot of our HF activities. And we went down to the stadium. We worked with the guys from West Virginia. We set up some equipment in the stadium, and we did it, and we had a lot of response from ham operators around the world and from around the country. And I came back home, and we sat down here with our radio clubs and said, hey, let's keep this going. So that next Veterans Day, we threw another event and did the same thing here in Fort Wayne, and in cooperation with the Golden Corral restaurants, and we asked amateur radio operators to do the same thing in their locations. We ended up with probably about 15 or 20 locations that did so, and we had to come up with a name, so hence came ARMAD, Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, is a name we came up with, and then every time we do an event or we're asked to do something, that's the name that we used.
That's fantastic. Unbelievable. I guess I want to say we've been thinking out loud a little bit, talking about all these things, and the one thing that I want to say that I'd like to bring up at this point, and that is, do you feel at this point in time, after watching the public react, first off, this is a real feather in the hat for amateur radio. The general public comes out and sees this. This is, you know, especially that many people. That's got to put the publicity on overload. You know, that's something that we really need as far as amateur radio is concerned. But do you feel the general public is somewhat deprived of ways of expressing their patriotism? Do you feel that that's going on right now today?
Yes, and we definitely found that out as people came up and talked to us during the event. Asking questions and so forth, and just telling us thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing, because they may go to events and so forth that kind of like honor our troops and whatnot, but they're like parades. They're like maybe a government official, like the mayor or a councilman or somebody might read a proclamation and say, "Hey, we thank you, troops," but they didn't have a way to express it back. But what happened was after we begin to do these RMAD events, and we begin to contact other amateur radio clubs around the country and say, hey, here's a unique way and a different way. People really like it to get your club involved with some public service stuff and to maybe help grow membership and get people involved in ham radio. They tried it, and a lot of those locations said, hey, it works, and we have a lot of feedback also. So we decided to just kind of keep it going and going and going and see what we can do and try to do more and more publicity. And one of the things that we found out was our local media here really jumped on this, and they sent a lot of the stuff to the national radio and TV and newspapers and so forth. And we got a full front page spread on Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, our first 2 years. I mean, front page, which we never thought. In the past, we've always had maybe a little blurb or a little small article hidden way back almost in the Help Wanted section. But they told us, they came out and they interviewed us, and they interviewed some of the ham operators, and we figured, okay, we'll see this on page like 11D. Well, lo and behold, a week before RMAD actually took place the first time, I was riding around again in my work truck, and I went to a gas station to get a pop. And this guy walks out, and he looks at me, and he goes, hey, it's you. And I says, oh, you mean me? He says, you're on the front page of the newspaper. And so I ran inside and looked, and lo and behold, the whole front page, and it says, Amateur Radio Helps the Public Talk to the Troops. And I'm going, wow, this is great, because this is going to really help amateur radio. This is going to give us some publicity. And there's this big picture with us talking on the ham radio. And then they did the same thing again about a middle of the week. They did it again on the front page of the second section, saying, asking the people, come out to this baseball game, because this is where the ham radio operators are going to be, and show your support for the troops. And then after the event took place, they did a front page article again on the, in the newspaper on the second section. The first article was actually on Section A, front page, and we were really, really pleased about that. And then we took number one news story on TV for 6 o'clock news and 11 o'clock news. And that helped a lot, too, because it also went on their websites, and people started leaving comments to the radio station, the TV stations, as to how much they enjoyed this and what it meant to them to be able to actually hear the voices of veterans, hear the voices of soldiers, and be able to get on the radio third party, say hi, say thanks, or just watch us make QSOs. So, yeah, it made a very good impact, and it was a very good way to promote amateur radio and do a public service.
Well, now we're going to take our man to the shortwave radio band and see how far we can go with this. I don't think there could be anything that could be more rewarding and more fun. But, you know, when is the last time? I really believe this. I believe the American public right now is somewhat deprived of being able to be to show their patriotism. You know, when is the last time you heard a radio station play the Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then some of the other things, when the war first started and leading up to probably the first 6 months or so, they would even have profiles and so forth about different soldiers and their families and what they were leaving behind, and especially since the citizen soldier is playing such a major role in the war on terror, where you have guys that have been in the community 15, 20 years working a job, and all of a sudden they get deployed. And they were doing a lot of those type stories in the newspaper, on the radio. They were saying, like, okay, we honor Sergeant so-and-so, and so he's our hometown hero. Then all of a sudden all that stuff disappeared, and things were back to status quo. Then ARMAD started up, and we started going to different communities around the country, and these other radio clubs were saying they notified their press and their media, and they began to run more stories about the role that amateur radio was playing in helping the communities to be able to contact soldiers, to be able to say thank you, to be able to let the soldiers know that they had the support at home. And one thing, too, that I've found, and that a lot of the amateur radio clubs that are involved in this, whether they be military clubs, regular clubs, whether they be military ham operators, operators that are doing this on their own, is that they get a lot of emails and a lot, and even when we talk to the soldiers, they're saying thank you for this because this is great. They said getting letters, receiving emails is a fine thing, but hearing your voices and knowing that you care and that you're doing a public service, you invite people out. People are listening to what's going on. They're seeing what's going on. They're able to participate in what's going on. That means a lot to us.
Well, you know, there's a fellow that puts out an international shortwave. Actually, it's a broadcast that's heard on a number of shortwave stations. And then he has a website. And if you haven't ever seen worldofradio.com, you're really missing out because it is fantastic. I have no idea how this man, Glenn Hauser, is able to put so much information on the radio about shortwave broadcasting, shortwave stations. Occasionally there's things in there about ham radio. And I was listening to one of his broadcasts, and he's the one that called this to my attention. He said that, first off, he said he never hears classical music on shortwave. But the other thing he said was, I never hear the national anthem. I never hear a U.S. international shortwave broadcast station play the Star Spangled Banner. And I sat there and I thought about that for a minute and I thought, that's incredibly crazy. You know, we have become so complacent. We have just literally, and I don't think it's because people are not patriotic, and I don't think it's because shortwave stations are not patriotic. We've just gotten lost in the shuffle. And I think this, I think the amateur radio Military Appreciation Day and ARMAD as a group is one fantastic way of bringing this back. In other words, going to the general public, we've got amateur radio in their face. You know, they see this and they realize, you know, what amateur radio is. Plus, it gives them a chance to express this patriotism that I think is suppressed. We have become suppressed patriotically. And, you know, they're wanting to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, they're wanting to to do something for the troops. But I think, you know, like when you were talking to me the other day and you said that, you know, you'd sent out so many letters and you hadn't got a response, you know, I refuse to think it's because people are not interested. I think we've just kind of been, we've been kind of rocked to sleep. Wouldn't you think that's a good description of it?
Yes. And I've heard that on so many radio talk shows, TV programs, read it in lots of editorials and stories. And I've also been in contact with several news reporters. I get emails from news reporters that are embedded in Iraq, in Afghanistan. I get emails from news reporters in cities such as Miami, Los Angeles. I've been interviewed by a lot of radio talk show hosts around the country and also asked a lot of questions by different reporters from around the country, and they're saying the same thing. They're saying that it's not that people are not patriotic and so forth. It's just the fact that people have become complacent, thinking that the soldier is out there doing their job for them, so they become complacent and rest and rely on them. But they want to know ways of how they can show the soldiers that they appreciate what they do. And they're just tickled to death to find out that amateur radio is there to help the community do that. And one of the big things that happened to make me aware of that was Alice Wax. She's the lady that actually started May, the month of May, as Military Appreciation Month. They found out about what we were doing in amateur radio. She didn't know anything about amateur radio, so she called me on the phone and sent some emails and wanted to know what was going on. So for the last 5 years, we've been their exclusive event that they've been pushing and pushing and pushing to get people, to make them aware of what amateur radio is doing. And they have just been tickled to death as to what amateur radio is. We got a chance to sit down and explain it to her. And then, lo and behold, as she presented it to other people in Washington, D.C. and other places around the country, people became interested in, how can I get a ticket? How can I become involved in amateur radio? How can I contact my local amateur radio club? How can we have an RMAD in our town? And just many, many emails started coming in like that. So we've been trying to connect up amateur radio clubs around the country with local patriotic groups such as the Patriot Guard, the motorcycle guys. They want to know what, how they can do it, how they can run an event. They also do a lot of the cross-country motorcycle rides, and they want to know how they can get amateur radio involved in those. There's military support groups out there that says, hey, we heard about this, we heard about RMAD, and we want to know how we can be involved. What can we do to get the amateur radio operators to throw an event like this in our cities and so forth, so that we can help the hobby and help show patriotism. We can help show the troops that we care and that we are behind them, because it's an excellent way to do so. And we have an excellent opportunity here. Like I said, down at Dayton, when they allowed us, the award winners, to give a speech in the arena during the presentation of the awards. And one of the things that I stressed to the crowd was that we have an excellent opportunity to bring in a whole new world of amateur radio operators, because these people have never, a lot of them have never heard about amateur radio, and this is a first time, I guess you would call a first impression event that really leaves their minds wondering as to what can I do, and man, this is great, because I actually had a chance to talk to somebody, I actually had a chance to tell somebody thank you. And these guys did it all for no charge. They did it all because of the love of the hobby, and they did it for a public service. And they were very impressed at how professional these amateur radio operators are and the things that they were doing for the community. And then we got a chance to explain a lot of the other things that we do in amateur radio, such as the storm chasing, working with the hurricane centers, working with Homeland Security, and it's all the other facts that we talked about, the different hurricanes that have come through and what ham radio had a chance to do, and we linked all of this together. Now all we need to do is to help these guys and help these remote locations, like you said, get some equipment so that we can get more of them on the air, because right now that's the focus. These families and people in America, our fellow citizens, their main concern right now is the safety of our guys in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And to have amateur radio play a part in letting them know that these guys appreciate hearing from them is very, very important.
Well, you know, I guess the thing that I see is that you work a full-time job. How many hours a day are you going, Emery?
I work about 50 to 60 hours a week.
So you've got a full-time job, and you're trying to do this. I cannot believe the amount that you've accomplished in working with this program. But listen up, ham radio operators, CQ. Emery needs some help. He can't do this all by himself. This is a tremendous load on one person. When you talk about all the emails coming in and all the different people you're talking to and all the folks that you've gotten involved in, folks that have had interest in this thing, you need to get organized in your community, and you need to get a group together, and we need to get an email off to Emery and get this thing to the point where, you know, he's got people cooperating with him. We need more clubs involved in this. You know, this kind of program is not going to survive with just 20 or 30 clubs. We've got to get them all across the country. And we want to get these clubs set up doing RMAD on a specific day. We want you people calling in here, reporting what you're doing. You know, I'll tell you, we were sitting there doing field day, and it was exciting, you know, hearing all these different guys calling in from everywhere and telling all of their what they were doing. But then when the phone rang and it was Captain Jeffrey Hammer calling from Iraq, there was like electricity in the room. I mean, it was like beyond anything you can imagine. Here these guys have been listening in Iraq. They've tuned into the signal. Now they're on the phone with us. They're participating in field day. He told me they had made some 36 contacts across Europe and whatnot. And you could feel in the room there was an energy where we were at doing this radio show like I have really never experienced. Everybody in the room got caught up with it. And this is the kind of thing that needs to we need to feel this electricity all across the United States from coast to coast.
And I agree. Yeah.
I think it can be done. And oddly enough, this radio show, Emery and I are talking right now to you folks, but we're really thinking out loud too at the same time. Wouldn't you say that's a good description of this radio broadcast?
Yes, it is. And we're thinking out loud as to ways that we can make it work better, ways that we can help the communities to get involved more, ways that we can help promote the hobby, ways that we can help promote local clubs. Because believe me, the media and the public, they're very, very interested in something like this because the emails that I get, and they say, hey, we want to get in contact. I've had groups like everybody knows about the Yellow Ribbons. And the organization that started those, SI Yellow Ribbons, I'm constantly in contact with her. The lady that started that with emails, she begged us the first 2 years we did RMAD, man, we'd like to get somebody down in our city, and we'll help them, we'll sponsor them and throw a big event, and everybody already knows about the Yellow Ribbons. They said, we'd like to get a hold of an amateur radio club. So I shot off probably 15 to 20 letters to different clubs down around that area, which was in Missouri and around Illinois, and I just didn't know how to get the word out and get them to respond back to say, hey, yeah, we'll do it. I even went on the ARL website, looked up clubs, gave her the information that I found on the Internet, and asked her to call maybe some of the numbers that were listed on the website, email some of the email addresses. But she had no luck whatsoever with any of the clubs down there. She said some of them that she did contact and talk to, they didn't show interest. And they didn't want to help out, and she thought that was kind of strange for a public service group such as amateur radio to do that. But they haven't given up. I've got emails from her again this week and last week. They're still wanting to work with amateur radio any way that they can. There's other organizations that want to do the same thing. There's a huge organization called Families United for Our Troops. They would love to do events. The Patriot Guard has gotten the whole, you know, National Patriot Guard. Also, America Supports You. I can go on and on. I have lists and lists of organizations and groups that would love to do something with amateur radio. One unique thing that we had happen last year was there's a girl out there who does letters to the troops. She started out in California. Her name is Shauna. And she's been on national TV, Larry King Show, ABC, NBC, CBS. She found out about RMAD, and we've been working together. She wanted to do she was in Chicago last year, and she wanted to get with the ham radio operators in Chicago and actually get on the air and let the soldiers, they already know who she is, and she wanted to help amateur radio promote the RMAD event up there. Unfortunately, it was too late because she did it a couple days before the event. We weren't able to get her connected with those guys up there, but they did run. They had several RMADs in the Chicago area. One of them was at a mall up there, and they got some pretty good press. But in the future, if we could get these kind of people involved, we could really do something to promote ham radio. Miss Teenage USA, she wants to be involved. Other groups, patriotic groups, other celebrities and whatnot, if we could get them involved, it could really help amateur radio and help our public get together and work together so that we can continue to make this a big hobby that is well known, and the facts are known about the hobby.
This also has some excellent international implications. Emery, tell us a little bit. And once again, folks, if you just tuned in, Emery McClendon is our guest, KB9IBW. And he is the the father of ARMAD. And what is ARMAD? Well, that's the Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day. And Emery got an award at the Hamvention this last year, and recognition from the American Radio Relay League for starting this up and for all of his hard work involved in this. So that's what you're listening to. And we're inviting you to participate. We're inviting you to get your local club tuned up for this. you want to dip the plate and peek the grid here. Now, international implication. You were telling me that there are ARMAD groups that do this overseas. Can you tell me a little bit about who they are, the ones that have started doing this?
Yeah, ever since the first year, we've had individual operators who are citizens in Kuwait. They're on the air, and they made a lot of contact. And they couldn't, the first few years, they couldn't get a hold of us on the air because of the time differences and so forth. So they called us on the phone, and they used IRLP and Echolink to get a hold of us because they couldn't do it on HF. But they did make quite a few HF contacts in other parts of the world, letting them know that they appreciate our troops, that they appreciate what ham radio is doing. And we've had several operators from Kuwait, from Malta, England, Germany, South America. We've got military ham operators that have written us from Antarctica, from Greenland. They've been on the air making contacts from Alaska, different military bases in Alaska, and clubs, amateur radio clubs in Alaska. Other international stations were like Switzerland. We've had, I mentioned Germany. We've had, the Israeli soldiers who are ham operators. They've been on the air with ARMAD, and they really like what's going on, and they said they would like to continue to make it better, because the only way that we can make it better, as you mentioned it, is that the more ham operators are on the air, the merrier, because then we can do relays for those stations who can't hear other stations. We can. One of the things that you brought up is that we can then have people call into your show. We can have them a place on our ARMAD blog site, which is our Yahoo group site, what you did, what you accomplished during your event. We'd like to have the pictures. We'd like to have the logs. We'd like to have just the notes that you have taken to show what happened at your ARMAD event and how we were able to help the public and so forth. Contact your local media. Contact the TV stations. Let them come out. They're happy to do that. And that also gives us publicity and gives us an opportunity to let people know that this hobby exists. A lot of people, they hear about us during the storms and whatnot. They hear about us during hurricanes. They hear about us during tornadoes. They hear about us during other facets of emergency things that happen in our communities. But they don't know that they can actually have a rapport with us and work with us and do things like these special events and so forth. And I think that the more of these type events that we do, the more we can warm the communities up to our hobby.
Well, you know, the other thing you were telling me about, too, unless I misheard you, you were telling me that stateside, there's a number of military bases stateside that get involved in this. And could you tell me, I know you just mentioned Wright-Patterson, and that's obviously a very significant military installation, but tell us a little bit about all the different military installations that get involved in this during ARMAD.
Yeah, we have the military guys up in Anchorage, Alaska. We have Fort Sam Houston. They've been with ARMAD for 5 years, and they taught us a lot, even here in Fort Wayne, because the first year we set up ARMAD at a baseball game, a professional baseball game, and we had like a station set up at almost every exit point around the stadium. And then we basically worked through the baseball management. And so, but it was a little bit difficult because the main focus of the event was the baseball game. And then as people, like, they took breaks or came down to the refreshment area or whatever, they passed by and saw amateur radio. So what these guys taught us, like, for instance, Fort Knox, Kentucky, we had Fort Campbell, Kentucky, we had guys out of San Antonio that were close to Fort Sam Houston, Lackland Air Force Base. We had other bases down in Georgia. We had some bases out in California that got a hold of us. We had some individual soldiers who were amateur radio operators that were out in their vehicles. We had some Marine bases down in the Carolinas. They got on the air. Well, one group set up a ARMAD right outside of the post exchange. They said because this would be a very busy area on a Saturday, especially during a holiday weekend, and we could get the wives, the officers and whatnot coming in and out of the post exchange. And that worked very well. And they told us one of the things that we've done in order to draw a crowd is that several of the military ham operators, they threw like a hog roast. They had their event had other things involved, such as music. Some of the bases had a band come out and perform so they could draw a crowd. So we tried that 2 years ago, and it was very successful, so we did it again this year. This year we had two bands. We had a country and western band that was the number one band in this tri-state area here of Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and then they were able then to bring out their clientele to learn more about amateur radio, and we brought a gospel group out so that we could, they came all the way from right outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. They drove up here and performed for us because they wanted to do something patriotic for the troops. And then last year, we had Samantha Allen, a country and western artist that she puts records out and CDs on the charts. She came up from Texas all the way to Fort Wayne at no charge to perform at ARMAD. And she's still in contact with us saying that, hey, we'll do it again. She's volunteered that if I want to come down to Texas, to Abilene, Texas, they'll throw a big concert for ARMAD and try to raise some awareness and some money and so forth so that we can continue to let this thing grow. So this is the kind of thing that we're looking at, and this can happen all over the country and all around the world. And we can get these military ham operators, we can get the Coast Guard, we can get Navy, the ships, and so forth. A lot of those guys have amateur radio equipment, and they also have the Internet. And we've had radio stations call and say, hey, what can we do to help you simulcast or do any, you know, broadcasting of this event? And one of the greatest things that happened was this year, Stardust Radio, which is an Internet radio, they also have AM broadcasts, asked us, what can we do to help? And they gave us one of their worldwide chat rooms, and they simulcast what happened here in Fort Wayne out for the world to hear. And a lot of soldiers listened to it and were able to text message us, also talk on the microphones like it was sort of like a Yahoo Messenger through their radio station chat room. And they said they want to continue to make that grow, and then next year they want to do even more. And any radio club around the country can log into that chat room, and it's like a server. It's really not like a chat room that we think of. It's a big server, and it can handle hundreds and hundreds of people in there, and we can use that as an avenue also to promote amateur radio.
Well, one thing we got to look at, too, and that is the practicality of using HF. HF is fun. It's great. If we could put a signal overseas into all these places where military installations are, that would be fantastic. But we're doing this during the day in the United States. We have propagation to deal with. And then, like you were mentioning to me, putting an antenna up in a public location, trying to put up a 3 or 4 element beam or something on a tower is not the most practical thing. You know, if we were to have a mishap and the tower came down or something on top of a bunch of people, you know, it would kind of undo what you're... But, you know, we've got Echolink. Echolink is an excellent way of being able to get voices going back and forth, because regardless of what some of the old-timers say, you know what, Echolink really is ham radio. It's an extension of ham radio. It's part of new technology, and hams have always been in the forefront of technology. And Echolink would be great. Anything we could do along that line would be cool. I guess one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on and talk to you today, and that would be the first part of probably a series that we're going to wind up doing. We want to use the radio facility here, the radio show QSO. We want to use this facility to be able to unite amateur radio operators. and unite clubs, unite people, to be able to get in touch with you, to find out what's going on. This is a point of information. Our website, which is tedrandall.com, can also be a source of information where you can go up, hit a link, and find out everything you need to know about RMAT, or go to one of the pages. We're going to be working with Emory on this and see how we can make this thing grow. Because, you know, amateur radio, for example, even the league, they're somewhat limited as to how much information they can bear. There's no way to hear Emory's voice and to hear the enthusiasm and everything that he wants to do and the vision he has other than what we're doing right now. I can't think of anything else better. So this is a call to action, folks. This phone call we got from Captain Hammer over in Iraq just set us spinning at the radio studio. We're broadcasting on field day, and it was like, what are we going to do with this? You know, this is one of the most fantastic things that could have happened to us as broadcasters, to take a call from a ham group in Iraq, some of our boys over there celebrating and going through field day operations, and to hear them say, boy, when they gave the description of their equipment and everything, it was like, we need to help these guys out. So I asked Captain Hammer, I opened my big trap, and I said, give me a wish list. And when I asked for it, I had no idea how we were going to get this off dead center. I'm just thinking, there's got to be guys out there that's got extra stuff. You got an extra linear amplifier that these fellows can use. Put it in a box. Get a hold of us. Let's ship it over there. If there's manufacturers that'll say, hey, you know what? Let's get these guys a transceiver. Let's get them another piece of equipment. They were talking about, we talked about Echolink. And Captain Hammer says, man, we could use a computer to do Echolink on. Well, let's get them a computer. You know, I mean, I think all of these things are possible, and I'm just giving a call to action, and we're thinking out loud, folks. These are just ideas, so we want to hear your ideas, and you can go up on the website at tedrandall.com, shoot us an email. I'll get it to Emory, and I'm sure, Emory, you've got email that you can give out an email address here in a minute or two. By the way, go get pencil and paper. Get ready to copy this down, and we'll put the link on the website, too, so if you don't have pencil and paper, and if you're listening to shortwave radio somewhere where you're driving or you're doing something different, you don't panic, because we'll get that email address up on the website. You know, something else that I was told, and I think it was Alan that told me that you had gone to a presidential breakfast over RMAD. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how that went?
Yeah, as a result of working with what happened was I was contacted through channels, through America Supports You, Operation Tribute to Freedom, the Defense Department. They called and they did an interview of me, and then they posted it on the Defense Department website. And as a result of that, there was a group called the Families United for Strong America. They're based out of Minnesota. And they contacted and wanted to know how we could help them with some of their events. And I told the founder, I said, hey, what I'll do is I'll try to get ham radio clubs in the Minnesota area, here in Indiana, Ohio, whatever, and we'll try to do what we can to help you get involved, not only with RMAD, but to help do special events, maybe at some of your events. They have some real big events. So as a result of that, she was invited to the White House for a meeting with the president. And little did I know that she would invite me to go along as part of the group. Actually, what they ended up doing was they got a sponsor, and the sponsor ended up taking several of the families to that event. And because of our work with amateur radio, she sent me an email and said, we would like to have you come along with us to Washington, D.C., but she didn't tell me what was going on. She said, what we're going to do is we're just going to have some meetings, and we're going to maybe have a tour of the White House or something like that, and you might get a chance to maybe pass out some flyers or whatever. So I agreed. Well, lo and behold, they got me real good. They tricked me, and we ended up having breakfast at the White House, and I got a chance to present some of this stuff to the First Lady. I didn't get a chance to present it to the President, of course, because he was really busy, but I did give his staff and some of the Secret Service agents some of the information about RMAD and talked to them, and they were very, very interested in what RMAD was all about, and they expressed their concerns, and wow, we had no idea that amateur radio could do that. And it turned out to be a really good event because it made national TV, it made national media, and amateur radio was there. I got a chance to wear my call sign shirt and the hat and all that, representing the ARL, our local clubs here in Fort Wayne. And my cousin, a lot of people asked a lot of questions, especially in that atmosphere, because they didn't know what all that was all about. So it gave an excellent opportunity to promote the hobby. And then I was able to meet, I met the Secretary of the Air Force and some other people at the breakfast event. I told them about RMAD and about amateur radio and what it was all about and what we were trying to do. And they thought it was a very neat thing. And it was just a great opportunity. And it was all because we went forth here from Fort Wayne and responded to this group's query as to what amateur radio could do to help them. So there's all kinds of possibilities that we can get into with amateur radio, and people are out there that really want to know more about what we do and how we can do it, and this is a great opportunity to open up a whole new just atmosphere and a group, and bring in a group of people from out of nowhere that has never heard about amateur radio, but they're a large, large group. There's thousands of people who do things to support our troops. There's hundreds of military support groups, hundreds of military readiness groups, hundreds of military families that want to know how we can do this. A lot of people, they can't afford these expensive cell phones. They can't afford to do this video conferencing. So when they found out about amateur radio, they thought it was very neat. You know, we don't promise them that we'll give them a one-on-one with their son or daughter or anything like that, but you will be able to get on the air, say what you got to say, and through the informal and some of the formal traffic through the Mars grams, we'll get the message there, but at least you will be able to talk on the radio. Somebody will hear you, some soldier will hear you, some veteran will hear you, and it will help people to know that they're appreciated, and it'll also promote amateur radio.